Hey everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of the Blue Monday Podcast. This week, Arthur and I will be looking at pre-ordering Blu-rays from the internet. Are they good deals or not? Where should you order from, and what websites have the best practices for you? Our focus on film is going to feature Trick or Treat. Now that Halloween has come and gone, is it worth the hype? Should you seek this movie out? These questions and more will be addressed on this episode of Blue Mondays. Welcome to week two of the Blue Mondays podcast. I'm Steve.
And I'm Arthur.
And we've got a little bit more of a structured show for you this week. A couple of articles. I'm going to try to get you in and out fairly quickly.
And of course, a wonderful, aptly timed Halloween movie review.
Exactly. Well, actually, this was on purpose, because before Halloween, you couldn't put your hands on this movie. It was completely impossible to track down. Sold out of it at our big box electronics retailer on a regular basis. I don't work anywhere near the movie department, and I could tell you that I had hundreds of people coming and going, do you have Trick or Treat? Do you have Trick or Treat? Tore the place apart. Actually, my good friend Laura is the one who really recommended that I seek this movie out. And ironically, after I told her I had seen it, and I gave her my review of it, she looked at me and was like, oh, well, that's great. I never actually saw the movie.
Just heard it was amazing.
But she couldn't get her hands on it.
And Laura has good taste in horror movies.
Laura has got excellent taste in horror movies. But before we actually get started, I just wanted to start off by welcoming you back, thanking the 21 people this morning who have subscribed to our podcast.
Our dozens and dozens of fans.
Well, our dozen and most of another dozen.
Yes.
Of fans. That hopefully is going to be expanding quite a bit, and we're going to need your help in doing that. So, if you're digging what we're laying down, then please.
Yeah, put it out there. I mean, this is how big things get started. Is somebody hears a little something they like, they tell two friends, then they tell two friends, and so on.
And then they make a L'Oreal commercial. And just to make it a little bit juicier for the people who are already subscribing, there are a couple of ways that you can contact us. I just want to put that out so that you can drop us an email, let us know what you think of the show.
Definitely love to hear from you.
So that would be at Blue Mondays.
Blue Mondays at comcast.net.
Yep.
And follow us on Twitter as well.
Yep. Just go up there and look for Blue Mondays.
Yes.
I was never a big tweeter. Upper range of the speaker system, but I'm more bass. Now, I was never much really into Twitter until I started seeing what a lot of other podcasts and things were doing with it. And if there's one thing that I'm known for back in the store and, you know, in other areas of my life, it's seeking out incredible bargains. I have got a fairly sizable Blu-ray collection already, and I can honestly say I have not paid anywhere near top dollar retail for pretty much any disc in my collection. People are often amazed at how cheaply I can find stuff, and when I find deals like that, I will be putting them up on Twitter. So if you are a follower and you do want to find Blu-rays on the cheap or Blu-ray equipment on the cheap,
just go ahead and take a look. That's what we're here for. I mean, especially if it's a movie like Trick or Treat or, you know, anything that we might be reviewing, if we can find a great deal on it for you just to get it in your hands, we'll do that.
Right. And just as a brief aside on that, we are going to be doing an article in just a moment on pre-ordering, whether or not it's really worth the effort, who's got the best deals when you pre-order. But as of right now, Amazon.com has got some insane deals on some upcoming Blu-ray releases, including, as of this morning, G.I. Joe, the Harry Potter, the most recent Harry Potter movie, a whole bunch of other stuff that is not out yet. The Hangover, which I heard is supposed to be absolutely
amazing. I've heard very good things about The Hangover.
Those are all between $17.99 and $19.99 on Amazon. You may want to pop up there and look at the Blu-ray Top 100, and a good portion of those movies are going to be listed right in there. All right, so You know, ready to start discussing the pre-orders?
Sure, why not?
Okay.
So basically, what we did is put our heads together. The majority of this is Steve putting his own head together. Basically,
masking tape.
Masking tape
really helps.
On you know what are the pros and cons? What are the best places to go in terms of pre-ordering? If you're not going to pre-order a you know really hot release that you don't think is you know going to be in the store when you go to buy it. You know, where is the best place, basically, just to get that deal? Basically, what we did is, you know, compared your two top retailers in terms of Blu-rays and Blu-ray new releases, one primarily online, that being Amazon, and one being your brick-and-mortar, and that being Best Buy. Looking at, you know, just down the list, comparing a couple things, arrival date, shipping cost, their price guarantee, return policy, about how they handle those, and then basically giving you an idea of, you know, who really comes out on top. I'll take the first idea here of arrival date.
Okay.
So when you pre-order, you know, that great big new movie that you just don't think is going to be in stores, looking at when you're going to get it. You can get it through Amazon same day, get it basically on the same day if you paid with two-day shipping. Everything else would be delayed. As opposed to Best Buy, where basically you can pick it up at the local store. If you purchase it on BestBuy.com, they'll have it waiting at the front desk for you. Or, of course, you can just order it through the .com site itself, but ordering it straight through .com and having it shipped to your house is in no way going to get it into your hands any faster. When it comes down to it, you can pre-order on Amazon, but you have to pay a little bit more to get it quicker. If you're closer to a Best Buy and you just want to absolutely make sure you're going to have this movie in your hands on day one, the best thing to do is order it online and opt for in-store pickup. You're in and out, you grab it at the counter, you're back home and you're watching it. So the clear winner right there, I would say, really, is if you're close to a Best Buy, they're going to win in terms of getting it into your hands the quickest. If it absolutely has to be shipped, you're going to get it quicker through Amazon than you would through BestBuy.com. But, yeah, definitely, if that's the way you can do it, if you don't mind a quick trip out, you definitely will get it on day one if you're near a Best Buy.
Now, as far as shipping goes, if you do absolutely have to get it shipped to you, Amazon does have a consistent price policy where for orders of $25 or more, they will ship it to you for free. So that is a really phenomenal deal. BestBuy.com occasionally has shipping specials, but that will roll from special to special. I mean, they don't have a set guaranteed price. So 90% of the time you are going to pay for shipping. So that would be a better deal through Amazon.com. However, you do get very slow shipping where it comes to the free shipping because...
Yeah, the Super Saver discount.
Exactly. And I do use that quite frequently. I order quite a bit from Amazon.com. And I do like the $25 Super Saver shipping. That is for something that I do not have to have right away because they will delay not just they don't just give you the slowest shipping possible to save money. They're also going to hold off on shipping it for quite a while. So if this is something that you want in your hands as quickly as possible, not a real good option as far as shipping.
They're not great on time sensitive, but even their Super Saver shipping a lot of times. I even just had some recent purchases through Amazon where I was expecting 5 to 7 days, and I got them in 2 to 3.
Yeah.
Again, new release Blu-rays where you're going to want it on day one, not a good idea, but they're still pretty decent.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So as far as and price guarantee, this kind of got a little convoluted. Well, no, actually, this isn't the convoluted one, so we're going to cut this part out too. But
yay for post-production.
Yay. I love Audacity. Price guarantee. I actually did shipping cost, so you want to take over the price guarantee?
Okay. I don't want to sound like I'm reading verbatim from your list, and I'm not really good at the Amazon. So, price guarantee for Amazon, they're really going to have a good price right up until the movie's released.
Do you want me to take the Amazon part, and you can do the Best Buy?
Yeah, I'm a little bit better with that.
All right. Well, basically, the way that the Amazon price guarantee works is it's prior to the sale. Because they are a direct marketer, their prices are going to fluctuate hour to hour, day by day. Oh, dear Lord, no, I'm not going to burst into song. But The price is going to fluctuate quite a lot between the day that the release is announced and you can begin pre-ordering and the day it actually ships. So what their guarantee is that before the sale, if you were to order this, you know, pre-order a Blu-ray a month before the release comes out, you will get that Blu-ray for the cheapest price that the that they have it listed on their website during that entire month. Okay, from the time you order it until the time that it actually streets, the time it is available for sale, just to go ahead and you know, have it shipped out immediately, you'll get the price. So, like, for example, I did pre-order G.I. Joe for my sons for Christmas. Boys, don't listen to this podcast. but I did pre-order it on Amazon. What I generally do is we'll pre-order something and just see what the price comes down to. And a couple of days ago, that price dropped all the way down to $19.99. So, yeah, that's a really good deal on this. So I just let that one go because Best Buy had it for, I believe, $24.99. So I'm going to go ahead and let that one come from Amazon. Now, where Amazon does drop off is after the item has shipped. You know, they do not price match after the sale.
Yeah, once you own it, you own it.
Exactly. So, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and let Arthur talk about the Best Buy policy.
As opposed to BestBuy.com, we're basically, as long as you are an informed consumer and keep an eye on, you know, the prices that are going to be posted on the site, they do give you a 30-day price guarantee. So basically, if you have the disc and it goes on sale at BestBuy.com any time,
or even in store.
Or even in store. Any time within the first 30 days, you can either, you know, go through the Best Buy phone number, the 888 Best Buy, or go into the store and they'll just be able to really quickly credit the difference back to whatever card or form of payment. So, you know, pre-purchase and pre-delivery, I'd say Amazon really has, you know, a good price structure, but in terms of guaranteeing you're going to get the lowest price, I'm not really thrilled with them. Best Buy is going to stand behind you and know that there's going to be times where, you know, prices are going to drop and they're there for you for the first 30 days. But they're not going to go out of their way to find you and inform you. You just have to keep an eye on it. And if you see it, you bring it into the store, you call the 888 number and they'll get you your money. So clear winner for price guarantee, I think, is going to be Best Buy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's more likely to go on sale after.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Now, as far as return policies go, the both facilities use a very similar model. It's returnable within 30 days of the date of purchase for a full refund if unopened. Now, that's the big thing here.
Yes.
To prevent piracy, you do have to return any media to any retailer or direct marketer unopened.
And I'm sure everybody that's listening is kind of shaking their finger and saying, "Oh, it's a terrible policy." Well, I'm sure if you have the technical savvy enough to find and listen to our podcast, you probably have the technical savvy enough to copy a piece of digital optical media.
So you mean they could be sharing this with their friends and we're not going to get paid for it?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's going to happen.
And you know what? I'm fine with that.
Yes, because somewhere along the line, I'm thinking someone will get us a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
Or some chicken.
Yay, chicken.
Oh, by the way, I don't think we let our adoring fans know that we are, again, broadcasting from an undisclosed location.
That's true.
That smacks of atmosphere in southeastern Massachusetts.
Hits you over the head with it. I think you've got a salmon over your head.
Oh, yeah, I absolutely do have a salmon over my head.
We got salmons, trout, is that a rainbow trout?
Oh, I'm not quite sure.
Yeah, looks like a rainbow
it's
trout.
It's a speckled beauty. Which is good because I of course, as we're having this podcast, I'm sitting across the table from Steve, and you know, I get to look at him, and his background, of course, is, you know, people passing in the aisleways and the bar filled with liquor bottles, and Steve looks at me and there's a fish on my head. So
yay, fish.
Good for Steve having the wherewithal to be a professional about this.
And I think I got a jack of antelope above your head too.
A what?
Some sort of antelope like creature.
Okay, so anyways, plug to that that atmosphere-laden...
you know, I'm just going to go ahead and say, thank you, Bugaboo, for providing us
for
with...
For your delicious snowbird chicken.
For your delicious chicken.
And for allowing us to scare your waitresses when we tell them that we're going to plug them.
No, I said give them... I said we're going to give you guys a plug. She did look horrified, didn't she?
Yeah, she... You look like you just ruined Christmas for, but...
Well, I already ruined Christmas for my sons, you know.
Yeah, so. Well, they'll be producing and listening to the Happy Tuesdays podcast.
That's true.
Instead of listening to the Blue Mondays. So, back to our discussion here.
Oh, we were actually talking about something?
We kind of were. See, this is how this is supposed to work. We have a nice free exchange, and every so often we talk about stuff. So where were we? Returns and exchanges.
Yeah, same
thing.
We
touched on convenience, pretty much touched on.
And actually, there was one thing that I really kind of wanted you to touch on, seeing as you are the more technical of the two of us.
Yes.
Because the price, the return policy for both of these guys would be the same. If the disc is defective, they will give you a new copy of that disc.
Same title.
All right. Arthur, would you care to share with our listeners why about 90% of the media that is returned as defective is not actually defective?
The wonderful part about living in a connected age, in a very digital age as we do, is...
Very philosophical way of putting it.
That a lot of the times, the product that companies are putting out is trying to be newer and later and greater than... the last thing, the last big boy on the block. So, you know, anybody can put out a DVD, anybody can put out a Blu-ray, but, you know, there's companies that just want to be that first company to do that one new innovative thing with it, that new Blu-ray Live feature, or that new
interactive
game.
Which I think we should do a little something on later.
Yeah. So everybody wants to do that. And what the problem with that is you've got these discs with all this new software on it, and you've still got the same player at home. You've got your PS3 or your Samsung Blu-ray player or whatever it is device that you're watching these discs through. And those discs, unless they're internet connected, really aren't evolving. They're just going and doing what they can the best they know how. And unless you teach them a new way to do things, they're not going to know how to do a lot of the stuff that these new discs do. And, of course, by my long roundabout way here, I'm talking about updating the firmware on your players. Most people, if you're not, technically savvy, you will have at least noticed when you hooked up to your Blu-ray player that there's an Ethernet jack in the back, a big giant phone cord-looking thing. That is so that the device can connect to the Internet, not only for streaming media, but for getting these really crucial Blu-ray updates. One of the best examples that I can remember from the last, 12 months was when the new Iron Man movie was released.
Mm-hmm.
Working at our major big box retailer, of course, hundreds of people within the first couple of days coming in and purchasing the new Iron Man movie. Everyone's so excited about it, can't wait to get it home, can't wait to watch it. And then, you know, that very next day, here's those same people, 10 or 20 of them, standing at the door with the Iron Man in their hand, shaking it and just saying, you know, what are you guys doing? You sold me a bad disc, blah, blah, blah. And this was the first time where it really even got national exposure that, you know, these devices do need to be updated. I believe it was the way they encoded the sound on the Iron Man disc. Correct me if I'm wrong, if you remember hearing about this.
No, you got it exactly right.
The way they encoded the sound, most players didn't know how to even read it. So unless you updated your Blu-ray player, you couldn't watch Iron Man, period. You put the disc in, it just kind of laughed at you, it sad-macked or whatever device is going to do that's telling you it's not going to be able to do it. And there was
disc inoperable error.
There you go. Yeah. Basically saying it just ain't going to happen for you today. And there was a lot of angry people that returned this stuff, and then after, you know, maybe like the second or third person, we went, well, wait a minute, when was the last time you updated your firmware? And that's when you get the eureka moment from people that, oh, wait, I actually have to maintain this device.
Or you get that, what are you talking about, firmware?
Yeah.
This ain't no porno.
It's just like a car, basically. You have to change the oil. Every so often, with your Blu-ray player, you have to change the oil. You have to throw new firmware at it. Same with your TVs and things like that. It opens up all sorts of new functionality and features. And that will save you from having to go through the hassle of returning and exchanging a Blu-ray through either Amazon or Best Buy or whatever retailer you're picking it up at, other than Half.com, because...
You can't.
Yeah, you just can't.
That's yours.
But, you own it. It's like a yard sale.
That's exactly what it is. Yeah. And just so you're aware, every time you put in a brand new Blu-ray, like I fully anticipate the first time that I put in G.I. Joe, there's going to be a little menu that's going to pop up and it's going to say, this Blu-ray disc was mastered using the most recent form of the encoding script or what have you, you may need to upgrade the software on your machine in order to use all of its functionality. That's a bit of a, I don't want to say a lie, but you know, it's just not going to work if you don't do it.
Yeah.
So, but that little advisory is there for a reason. You know, so please, when your Blu-ray is talking to you, just listen.
Listen. Just listen. It's like a lady.
Exactly. Oh, but a cruel mistress she is. All right.
Oh, sweet lady Blu-ray.
Anyway, the last category in our now almost 15 minutes going on about this, when I swore it was only going to be 5 or 8, was when these facilities, when these corporations, these stores, online and brick and mortar, are going to charge your credit card. This is one thing that I really like the way Amazon does this better than Best Buy, because Amazon, you place the order, the website basically says thank you for your order, and then it moves along, and you don't get charged until the item is getting ready to ship. They will, you know, just hold off on it, and if there's a problem, they'll contact you before it ships. Best Buy, in this situation, has got one of the most convoluted, disturbing, freakishly weird ways of doing business that I think I've ever seen. They will actually place a hold on your credit card when you go to make the purchase for the purchase price, and then renew it every 8 days. Because if you've ever dealt with a credit card, in a retail environment, or from the back hand of it, or even if you've ever done something like rented a car, you'll know that when you go into, say, a car rental agency, they will put a hold of a couple of $100 onto your credit card,
yep,
just in case anything bad happens to the car. That way they can go ahead and take their money, you know, from the credit card. It doesn't actually remove the money from your account. It doesn't actually charge anything to the account. It's just on hold. And if that hold isn't acted upon by the vendor within 3 to 4 days, it just drops off. Now, Best Buy will renew that. So if you order your, you know, Harry Potter disc a month before, every 8 days, Best Buy is going to be placing a hold for the amount of that Harry Potter disc onto your credit card. So that is definitely one place where Amazon, that's an undisputed win in the Amazon column.
All right.
Now, the way that I wanted to go through here was to just, you know, choose a winner, basically. You know, each category gets a point. But there are such...
I guess it really depends on what you're doing and how you want it done.
Exactly. If it depends on how you want to do it. If you need it same day and you live near a Best Buy, then, you know, Best Buy is going to win in that category. If you're way off and, you know, live on rural road number 7 and it's 20 minutes for you to, you know, drive to your neighbor's house, and you want something, you know, day and date, and you don't mind paying the extra money, then Amazon's going to win there. So this is one of those situations where you just have to be a grown-up and make a decision. You know, this. So we're just here to give you the information, and you go ahead and decide on your own.
Yes.
All right. So getting into Trick or Treat, you ready to talk about the movie?
Definitely.
The whole reason why we're here? Yeah, 24 minutes. I think we're going to have to...
I think in post-production, not only are you going to be cutting a little bit of it down, mm-hmm, but maybe move this to the second half.
Yeah.
Like, because people are, I would imagine, tuning in to listen to the
movie review.
The movie reviews, and, okay, you know, if we're going on for 10, 12 minutes about Blu-ray, and then all of a sudden,
yeah,
you know, I'd say movie review and then article, even just in the future,
yeah,
is a good format. Be like, okay, here's your movie review. Oh, and by the way, here's some tech stuff.
Well, that's the beauty of podcasting.
Yeah.
I mean, we can constantly evolve.
We can bend time.
Exactly.
So.
Okay, so welcome to Blue Mondays, and today Arthur and I will be talking. You got stepped back to the beginning of the podcast, didn't you? Okay.
Okay, so Trick or Treat.
Trick or Treat.
So for those of you who don't know Steve and I's sense of humor and relationship and whatnot, when we were first discussing what to do after our inaugural review of Transformers 2: Revenge of the Fallen. If I could just keep remembering the movie names week to week. Continuity, it's good for the fans.
That's true.
So, When we first finished our inaugural podcast, we said, gee, what would be the next movie to do? So we thought about G.I. Joe, we thought about this, we thought about that, and then we said, okay, well, it's coming up on Halloween. We should do a good Halloween movie. And Steve, immediately knowing the quality of this film, basically recommended it and laid it on the line and basically just told me, look, if you don't like this movie, you're not my friend anymore. And
I don't think I said, all right, yeah, I did say that.
And I went home a little worried because, I'll be honest with you, I'm not a huge fan of horror movies, you know, the gorier side of sci-fi, I guess you could call it.
Really?
I mean, I wouldn't really call, well, I suppose you could call this a horror movie. I'm just, it has to be a little more intellectual for me. Like, to me, growing up, a horror movie was Nightmare on Elm Street. Mm-hmm. A horror movie was Friday the 13th. A horror movie was Texas Chainsaw Massacre. That's the kind of stuff I'm just not into. It needs to be something smart like this movie was. So I came in thinking that, well, it was a good run, Steve, but, you know, this is might be where we have to part ways, but...
it would have made it really uncomfortable at the Dolphins game this weekend.
But thankfully, I really did enjoy the movie. Speaking a little bit about how it was set up, it really pays a lot of homage to the old Outer Limits, Twilight Zone, that type of format, Creepshow, mm-hmm. So I was trying to remember. As soon as I started watching this, I started thinking of the old Twilight Zone movies of the 80s with all these big name stars and these 15-20 minute little vignettes. Of course, they weren't tied in together as well as this was, but, you know, same kind of idea. The one thing that struck me, and I actually, this is something we haven't discussed yet, which, of course, we're going to edit out because why would I say, hey, we haven't discussed this stuff? Critical of myself. Anyways,
actually, just as a quick aside, did you notice how much of the stuff I said I was going to edit out last week that ended up in the podcast?
But it worked.
It did work.
Like the phone calls and the Bill the Buffalo and all that, like that was funny. Like there's just some dumb shit happening this week.
That's true.
So anyways.
Oh, come on, family friendly.
That'll be edited out.
Yeah, maybe.
The one thing that I noticed about this, and I actually had to get up off the bed when I was watching it last evening, as a matter of fact, to start checking some of the credits on some of my other movies, because as I explained last week with my long drawn out analogy of explosion porn, my long drawn out analogy this week is this really reminds me a lot of the worst movie of 2008. And I'll elaborate on that as I just got a hairy eyebrow from Steve. So anybody that can, you know, go to your favorite internet web server search thing, Google or Yahoo or
IMDb.
Bing. Bing. By the way, you can Google things on Bing. So you go
this
to one of these
moment
sites.
Brought to you by.
Brought to you by Bugaboo Creek. We're plugging you again, waitress.
Yes.
So, anyways.
She's gonna hate us.
We don't know her name, so the name exchange wasn't that good.
Yeah.
So, anyways, if you go to any of these search engines and you type in, you know, what was the worst movie of 2008, you get everybody and their cousin's top 10 list of just these horrible pieces of film that should never be put to celluloid. And one of them that's nearly on the top of every list was a little hidden gem called Repo, the genetic opera. And the reason why I'm
drawing
parallel...
How'd I know you were going there?
Because it's going to be a great review when we do it.
Yeah.
The reason why I bring that up, and anybody that's seen the movie, you're going to be about 5 minutes into it, and you're going to notice the art direction, the segues with all the comic books. Basically, both movies you looked at, and, you know, they have comic book panels explaining the plot so the characters don't have to.
Which worked here, and for some reason did not work in the Ang Lee version of the Hulk.
Well,
did you notice that?
The Ang Lee version of the Hulk was just a Linkin Park song away from cutting its own wrists.
Yeah.
I really, literally did have to pause the Blu-ray, get up, grab my copy of Repo, and put them side by side to see, well, these didn't come from the same studio. Nope, they didn't have the same art director. Nope, they didn't have the same... producer, anything like that, but just you closed your eyes for a second, outside of the plot, of course, and there were a lot of similarities. And I did enjoy Repo, and as very well, I enjoyed Trick or Treat, speaking especially of something we talked about last week, the originality in Hollywood, this was a good movie to actually sit back and go, wow, they did something different here. You know, there's a million Halloween movies with Michael Myers, and there's a million Halloween movies with, you know, just terrible serial killers running around just having at people. But nothing about what Halloween is, and that's what I really enjoyed about this, the fact that they brought back the lore, the fact that the director did not graduate from the M. Night Shyamalan School of Twist Endings.
A twist!
And really did it well. Like, to be honest with you, you sit and watch a movie nowadays and you're like, oh, okay, you know, 15 minutes and you're like, I have a pretty good idea how this is going to turn out. Mm-hmm. You know, be it a romantic comedy or an action movie or whatever, you pretty much know, you know, as an adult in the back of your head, oh, okay, this is how this is going to play out. I was doing that with this movie and none of it was right. I was just like, oh, okay, you know, the Anna Paquin character's a vampire. Okay, yep, that's no problem. I figured that out. Oh, okay, well,
Whoops.
You know, the bus driver died. You know, oh, wait a minute. Like, all this stuff just completely and totally was flipped around in the end and in such a delightful way that I just didn't see coming. And that was, it was a really refreshing surprise.
So let me get this straight. This movie, which features a, you know, basically a serial killer toddler running around with, you know, Snickers bars with razor blades on them and, you know, cutting out, you know, guys' Achilles tendons. Did you just say it was delightful?
it was a fun, enjoyable romp for the whole family.
Ooh.
It especially when you go back and watch the special features afterwards and you see the evolution of the character of Sam, you see you know, the kind of ideas about how they wanted the story to come together, and then of course that documentary thing they had about the lore of Halloween.
Right.
It was really interesting. Like I was riveted watching that as much as you could be riveted watching a special feature on anything. I was really, really pleased with the movie, and I'm kind of upset that it didn't get more you know, shelf time and press than it did, because for something to be this original and this enjoyable, even to a guy that's just told you he doesn't enjoy horror movies, it's a shame. I mean, this is I guess this is why we're here, is to tell people that you know, you really need to go grab this.
You really do, and that's actually one of the reasons that I purposely chose this movie for after Halloween, because like I said before, there was no way that anybody was getting a hold of it on Netflix. It still has, you know, very long wait written next to it in my queue, which reminds me I have to take it out of my queue because I just decided to go ahead and buy it. Unless you're buying online from a place that's got, you know, warehouses the size of the one at the end of the first Indiana Jones movie, you're probably not going to get this. It's going to be out of your local rental stores. It's not going to be available on the shelves at your local video, your big box retail shops and things like that. It's just, it's insanely hard to find.
And you know what this is, too? This is a good tradition movie, not only because of the themes in it, of course, talking about the tradition of Halloween, but, you know, you think when you gather around for Christmas holidays or whatever, and you always watch, say, The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Actually, I had a thought exactly like that. Yeah. I think that this should play on, like, the Sci-Fi Channel or something like that from midnight until, you know, midnight, all day Halloween, just the same way that TBS plays A Christmas Story.
I was going to say, if Ted Turner can show the Red Ryder BB gun all day, there's no reason why Sci-Fi couldn't show Sam.
Yeah, and there were a couple of other points that I wanted to make here. Now this, like Arthur indicated earlier, this really does kind of harken back to the to those really good horror anthology movies of the 80s and early 90s. Immediately I thought Creepshow, because Creepshow also, that was based on the old EC comics before the comics code took the teeth out of the comic book industry. And the comic book dissolves and, you know, transfers and edits going from one story to storyline to the next just really reminded me a lot of Creepshow. I will even go so far, and I'm a huge Stephen King fan, read everything the man has ever written, seen all the movies, even the bad ones. This is a lot better than Creepshow. The writing on it is insanely tight. The relationships that you see, and that's one of the reasons that most horror movies do not hold up very well to repeated viewings, because you just start poking holes in things, why did that stupid woman go down that hallway?
And you don't care about the characters.
There's a big metal door at the end of the hallway. None of your friends are answering when you're yelling for them. Why are you going in the house? Okay, going back to Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And this will definitely stand up to repeated viewings. I'm planning on watching it again either tonight or tomorrow at some point, and getting into the special features a little bit more, because I didn't have a chance to do that. But because of the intertwining storylines and things, you can see how the night progresses. I mean, it's cut together like a Pulp Fiction.
Yep.
But with a lot more teeth than Pulp Fiction. It's literally.
What it reminded me of, another... really good kind of star-studded but unfortunately straight to DVD release, was a kind of a mid-90s pre-crazy Tom Cruise, Katie Holmes movie called Go, if you've ever had the chance to see that.
Haven't had that one.
I recommend that again to anybody that's listening to this too. Very similar to Trick or Treat. It had nothing to do, of course, with Halloween, but very similar stylized kind of movie with 5-6 stories going on at the same time, and none of them separately really make too much sense until you start seeing them put together, and then you start seeing, okay, well, you know, in segment one person's on the phone with another person. Segment two, you see the other side of the phone call. And it was kind of like what you had here is, you know, you see, you know, a couple of the first couple of vignettes, and you're like, well, okay, you know, that wasn't too bad, you know, that the story was okay, you know, I really didn't get too involved in it. And then they start showing you the second half of the movie, and it just starts dropping more facts and everything on the first, sprinkling, you know, more interest on the first couple of stories. And that I really enjoyed about this flick. It was definitely worth it, in my opinion. Again, the tradition thing, this definitely should be one of those, hey, it's Halloween, we have to put it on type movies, in my opinion.
So, and, you know, talking again about the level of talent involved with here, I mean, you've got Anna Paquin, who now is, of course, Suki on True Blood, and Brian Cox, who not many people know, he was actually the first Hannibal Lecter. Did you know that?
I did not.
Yeah.
Fun fact, not to cut you off, but...
But you will.
But I will, because this is one of those amazing facts. So I'm sitting down and I'm watching this film, and little interesting factoid about myself. Elementary school, I went to, obviously it's called, well, this elementary school, I went to the West Elementary. Mm-hmm. And when I was there, there was a very nice, kindly, older gentleman with white hair, the principal of the school. Everybody loved him. Mm-hmm. His name was Principal Wilkins.
You're kidding.
Absolutely not kidding 100%.
Oh, no.
Anybody that's listening to this that, you know, is a coworker of ours at the big box retailer, or from the same area of town, or southeastern Massachusetts that we're from, you probably know Principal Wilkins, and the fact that the first person you meet in this film that's kind of just a little tapped and a little bit out there and really gave a great performance is, Principal Wilkins.
Yeah.
So it just kind of, that was
played
a
by
setup
Dylan
moment.
Baker.
Yes, that was a, you know, laying down on the bed, enjoying this, really having a good time, and both my wife and I just sat right up and went like, no way, because we both went to the same school, and it's Principal Wilkins.
And you know, that's so weird you should say that, because I was just about to mention that Anna Paquin's in it, Brian Cox is in this, but Dylan Baker, who plays the principal, pretty much stole the movie.
Yeah,
for
did.
Me. I mean, he and Jack, of course, but... little Jack.
His son?
No. The little man with that bag over his head.
Sam.
No, that's Jack. The little
this
demon
person.
Guy? Yeah, him.
That's, his name's Sam.
Is it Sam?
Yes.
I thought it was Jack. Isn't there a chapter in here called Meet Jack?
No, it's... In the special features, they refer to him as Sam.
Oh, okay.
Well, that's what they don't really give him a name, but they call him Sam based on the old Celtic Sawid, or I'm not saying it right.
Yeah.
but it's his name's Sam.
Oh, okay.
That's why I'm looking at your notes going, who the hell's Jack?
Apparently I misspoke. And
that's okay.
That's, again, the beauty of post-editing.
Post-production.
Okay, post-production, so.
I can swear and just gets post-production.
Exactly. So, going back. All right, so that whole section is going to be cut out.
Well, it's good that we realize that now, too, because I was referring to him as Sam.
Yep.
And you're calling him now Jack, and that would confuse the hell out of people.
Yeah, that's true. But the, so, going back here. So, Anna Paquin's in it, Brian Cox is in it, but the guy that I think really stole the show was Dylan Baker as Principal Wilkins. Just through the whole movie, he's got this really great kind of deadpan everyman. Like, if Jimmy Stewart were a homicidal maniac, it would have been just like this.
Yeah.
You know? And he really sets the tone for the whole movie because it's very much a morality play, but it's a much more old-school morality play. Like in the Friday the 13th movies, when Jason goes after the kids who are having sex and doing drugs and all that. Sam, in this movie, you know, kind of centers on the ones who break tradition.
Yep.
And, you know, are not living up to their end of the bargain.
It was like Fiddler on the Roof for demons.
Exactly. That is a really good analogy.
tradition.
So, as far as special features, you got to play with those a little bit more.
Yeah, there's the original animated short that the director did as one of his college final projects that really outlines what the character of Sam is.
Oh, yeah, we should actually mention him, Michael Dougherty.
Michael Dougherty, thank you. Yeah. I was about to yank the Blu-ray up and look at it, and then I had just a vision of honey mustard sauce.
That would be bad.
Going on a laptop. Michael Dougherty's original college final thesis animated film of the origin of Sam is in there. Very badly animated, but a lot better than I could animate anything, of course. Probably only about 5 minutes, but, you know, really cute, and it lets you know about a little bit about the character. And a couple of decent behind-the-scenes things, focusing on some of the more minor characters. Not only the character that plays Sam, who I believe they said was like a 7-year-old boy, and they really did want a child to play Sam, just because they said, of course, the, you know, child carries himself differently than an adult would, and things like that.
Yeah, and he moved like a child.
Yes, it was convincing.
Very.
Even, you know, of course, seeing some of the magic afterwards is the scene at the end where Sam is fighting with the old man, and we'll just leave it at the old man. And they show, of course, the scene where he gets up to the door and Sam jumps on his shoulders, and they really split that apart and show you, well, that's really not the original actor. It's actually a female gymnast.
Really?
And it's funny because I went back and watched it, and Sam's a good, maybe, I don't know, 3'8" or whatever, and all of a sudden when Sam's on the actor's shoulders, the old man's shoulders, he's like 4'11". Because obviously the 7-year-old's not going to do all this, you know, high-end stunt work and whatever. So they substituted with an Olympic-quality female gymnast. I forget what they said her name was, but it was just, it's kind of funny because once you see that and then you go back and look at the movie and you're like, wait a minute, he just grew like a foot and a half.
See, I didn't even pick up on that.
you wouldn't have.
Remember thinking, wow, that kid's badass, when I jumped up on that.
And another one that just made me smile, unfortunately he's not in the movie too long, and I'm drawing a blank on his name right now, is the little fat kid.
Yes.
In the beginning, the first victim Wilkins.
The one who got exactly what he deserved.
Yes. So they have the behind the scenes with him, and it's so great because he says, well, you know, I was only on set for this many days, blah, blah, blah. And they show him in the really, you know, kind of over-the-top first scene where he eats the candy and just begins just violently vomiting all over the front steps.
Mm-hmm.
The quote-unquote puke rig that they put in his mouth, it just looks classic. And the way he describes it, he says, oh, it tasted like chocolate, but the consistency was really, really gross. I'm like, well, that's a good thing, because it's supposed to look and feel like vomit. So.
Yeah.
The special features were worth it. Yeah, the special features were worth it. It's kind of lacking. There's not a whole ton of them. But what they have there is really good quality stuff.
So, and I just jotted down a couple of little quick bits of interesting history on the film. The film was actually shot and slated for release back in 2006. It didn't actually make it to a screen until Button Numathon, which is in Austin, Texas. Harry Knowles, the guy who runs Ain't It Cool News, hosts a all-day movie marathon where he has gotten actually some very good stuff to be released and to come into that. This did make an appearance at Button Numathon in 2007. And that was the first screening. It bounced around to a couple of film shows, film festivals,
yeah.
And never got distributed, which I just do not understand.
Hmm.
I do not know why this film did not get picked up. This would have made a buttload of money in the movie theaters. And getting it onto video was a bit of a chore too, but now it's getting a pretty big cult following,
yeah.
And I really hope to get a few more people exposed, at least 21 within the next couple of days.
Considering it came out of a pretty big production house,
yeah.
I'm not sure if you're familiar, but the Bad Hat Harry Productions,
yep.
Actually does a lot of TV dramas, most
yep.
specifically like House, and
that
if
J. J.
you spend
Abrams.
Any time around Fox, that they're marketing it every 5 minutes, so
mm-hmm.
considering the fact that it came out of a pretty big production house like that and still didn't get as much press
yep.
as it should have, kind of has me scratching my head.
Well, the good news is that a sequel is in the works.
Really?
So Sam may be coming back. Michael Dougherty could be turning this into his own, I'm trying to come up with an example of somebody who's basically been riding the same pony.
Saw.
Yeah, Saw. Yeah, that would be. I would actually love to see this turn into a new Saw franchise.
I'm not sure because I'm kind of my guilty pleasure as I am kind of a Saw fan.
Yeah.
Again, saying that I'm not a huge horror fan, but I like the intellectual side of it. I love the
yeah.
character of Jigsaw
mm-hmm.
in the Saw movie. So it really, really attracts me to it. But you're getting up to 6 in the last couple. They've really driven into the ground.
Really.
And
I just saw Saw for the first
fan,
time.
So.
I just saw Saw for the first time about 2 weeks ago.
What'd you think?
I was...
Without going into a whole nother...
Well, I'm not going to go a whole other review, but basically I avoided Saw because it looked like a... kind of like just another torture porn type of thing, and I wasn't interested in that. I didn't want to see another Hostel.
Yeah.
I saw Hostel 1. That was enough Hostel to get me through for my entire life.
Yeah.
I purposely avoided it. I saw that the Blu-ray got marked down to the point where if I had rented it and not returned it, the next day, I would have paid basically the same amount to
yeah.
rent the movie. So I picked it up. It was $9.99 at Best Buy. Grabbed Saw 1 and Saw 2 on the recommendation of a friend of mine, and brought it home. Brought the boys to school one Monday morning, and just popped it in. And was absolutely blown away. I could not believe how good it was.
Yeah.
So, I could definitely see this turning into a franchise, but maybe not 6 or 7 of
yeah,
them.
Yeah, you have something good. You just don't want to see it get to that point.
Right.
There's a lot of artists out there, recording artists and whatever, that just know. I'm at the top of my game. I need to stop now
mm-hmm.
and leave it there.
Not put the same album out 5 more
yeah.
times.
We were talking about tradition earlier. A Christmas Story
mm-hmm.
is a great movie, and it's timeless and everything like that. Nobody remembers the sequel.
My Summer Story. Of course I remember that. Had Charles Grodin in it.
No, it was All in the Family. It's All in the Family. I don't think it was called A Summer Story.
Yeah, that's how it got, at least put out on video. The one where he went to the World's Fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Son of a bitch.
It was My Summer Story.
You're getting the title wrong. I guarantee you. I'm blanking on it.
So if I only had an air card in here, we could go.
It's either It's All in the Family or it's has families in the title.
Really?
But that's more post production. Yay.
Yay.
Actually, you're wrong, Steve. Angrily pointing at you.
So you didn't have to stick your fork in me, but.
But yeah, that's exactly what I was saying. Is
yeah.
leave it the way it is. I wouldn't mind seeing the sequel, but if it's gonna be worse than this, I'm gonna feel bad about the series.
Mm-hmm.
There's some movies that you just have to leave alone. I think this is one of them. saw you're going to find as the series goes along that there are some gems mixed in the six movies, but it goes downhill.
Yeah.
You know, once they start expanding on the characters and whatnot, it's really good, but then just you're going through a two-hour movie every year at Halloween just to get 15 more minutes of character development.
Yeah.
And that's really what it is. So I wouldn't want to see that happen to a series like this. I'm interested. I'll definitely see it. If it comes out in a theater anywhere near me, the sequel, I'll definitely pick it up. But, I'm up in the air about it.
Okay. Well, we're just pushing over 50 minutes, so hopefully I'll be able to edit that down a little bit.
Yes.
Okay, so, but if not, then, hey, you got an hour podcast.
Final word, I say buy it.
Oh, definitely. This has got to be, if you're a horror fan or you know a horror fan, if you own a fan, I would buy Trick or Treat.
It's schlocky at a couple of points.
Oh, yeah, but I mean, that's part of its charm.
That's really, it is. Like, I was watching it and going, well, you know, it's not really that scary. It's not really taking itself that seriously, but it did everything just in moderation just enough.
It was perfect. I mean, okay, come on. I just called it charming, and you referred to it as delightful. So if you're in the mood for a charming and delightful horror film, definitely get yourself a copy of Trick or Treat. And you may actually be able to do it now that Halloween is over.
And if you have any further adjectives which you'd like to share with us other than charming and delightful, remember that we're reachable at bluemondays@comcast.net. Follow us on Twitter and various other places, the Podomatic site and iTunes.
That's true. All right. Yeah. And oh, that's right. We are now available through iTunes.
Yes.
So if you were listening to this through Podomatic and you want to go ahead and subscribe through iTunes, every time you sync your iPod, you will have you'll be exposed to me and Arthur without actually being exposed.
Which doesn't sound as fun for me as it does for everybody else.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that wraps it up.
That does wrap it up. Okay, so we're going to go ahead and let you listen to some more music. And actually, that may be something. What is the name of the band that is going to be providing us with our music starting next week?
Yes, well, I know that I have been talking to the guitarist of a local band called Come Over Sleepover, which kind of, we've discussed, has broke the five-syllable rule for good band names.
Mm-hmm.
But they're really a solid band. They have a single out there called Sight for Sore Eyes, which you can find on Groove Shark, you can find on Google, you can find on MySpace Music, all these types of things. They're already gathering a huge following, and they're going into the studio again in November to record, I think, 3 or 4 more songs for the album.
Okay.
So we're going to hopefully get some of their music on our podcast next time, all about supporting local artists and small directors like Michael Dougherty.
Yes. Actually, I don't know how small he is. Did they actually?
He's tiny.
He's tiny?
Yeah, he could have been the 4'11 gymnast.
Wow.
That was on the old guy's back. But, we'll try and get some of that good stuff for you coming down the road. And, again, feel free to drop us a line. We're always looking for your feedback. And
I only got one little bit of feedback. I got one piece of feedback regarding the last show. And I quote, "That fade was lame."
Really?
Yeah.
Who'd that come from?
That was from Tim.
Okay. So everybody but Tim,
yes.
If you'd like to give us feedback, that's bluemondays@comcast.net.
Yeah. All right. Well, have a great week, everybody, and go watch some Blu-ray.
Blue Mondays lead to happy Tuesdays.
Oh, yeah.
You're listening to Our Dad.